Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Hi, it's the... Hi, it's episode 2 of the Daughter of God Cast podcast with Den Kelly, writer-director, telling you the stories of the making of the Daughter of God. 11 years in the making. And now we're beginning the release, the process, the slow, gentle release. We just want to make sure that the earth doesn't explode. So many cool things coming up, folks. And then, of course, the movie. Get a cup of tea. Here we go. We're going to ease into this. You know, lots of people have helped out whether or not they realized they were helping. In the first episode, I mentioned Michael Aaron. If it weren't for Michael, Daughter of God might never have happened, and I might still be wasting my time doing things I almost like. I met Michael at the New York City Final Cut Pro Users Group. Michael had just finished up at the New York Film Academy, and he was having trouble posting his first film. He was looking for an editor. I can vividly remember watching that rough cut. A disaster. There were so many mistakes, so many problems. And the weird thing was, I was getting more and more excited watching. Could I fix this? Was it possible? There was some genius in this little movie that he made. But could it be brought forward? Could I make this movie work? I don't know what it was. It was like I just caught on fire. And I told him I'd fix it for a flat $400. And he'd have to wait a month or two. And then Blind Date was accepted into a slew of festivals, one of which, as I talked about in the last episode, I went to. And so wherever you are, Michael, thanks. Daughter of Godcast podcast, episode 002, The Swiss-German Triple Threat.
I'd been covering the stage from the high balcony for days. She was one of the leads in the avant-garde musical I was hired to point my camera at. A tall, lanky blonde with a quirky exuberance, seen mostly through an L-series fluorite zoom lens, providing, by the way, unsurpassed image quality unobtainable with conventional optical glass. Now she was near enough to thumb wrestle, sipping something, bonding with me in a bar not far from the theater. After 15 years living mostly in Michigan, how did I come to be lounging next to this gorgeous, goofy triple threat in Manhattan, way off Broadway?
In October of 2003, I cleared out of the family's lake cottage I'd been squatting off and on since 1988 and left Michigan, a pariah. A few months earlier, during a visit to my parents' house just down the road, my father took me aside and said,
"You're making life miserable for your mother and I."
His brother Jack, usually a joke-cracking Irish leprechaun, had been overtly hostile for the past half year. Jack was especially bothered by the signs I'd painted and posted across the street from the cottage. For instance, "Happy War!" Also, me being one of the Traverse Eight. In March of 2003, 30 or so activists blocked an Army Reserve convoy departing from Traverse City to support Shock and Awe in Iraq. 8 were arrested, including me. The Traverse Eight. Our action was carefully planned, supported by scads of citizens and backed by a crack team of pro bono lawyers. The objective was to offer an alternative narrative about the impending war with a robustly publicized show trial. The results? Zealous felony charges by the prosecutor,
healthy confusion about the concept of patriotism, ongoing TV coverage, and editorials in the regional newspapers, both condemning and sympathetic. I'm guessing my Republican dad caught hell from his Rotarian pals in nearby Frankfort, Michigan, and his fellow conservative Catholics at the local church, St. Anne's. I can only imagine. Some Christians assert that the unborn have a right to life. Unless, I suppose, they were in the bellies of moms in Baghdad in the spring of 2003. Well, shit. The war happened anyway. Eventually, the prosecutor caved, and the Traverse 8 agreed to pay a small fine for the equivalent of a parking ticket. However, my family didn't see it as a win. So, away, away. I blew out of Michigan with the autumn leaves, my three cats in a Toyota Tundra pickup pulling a trailer full of watercolors, digital originals, and prints. That winter, I trekked between juried art shows in the Sunshine State, during the worst art show season ever recorded in human history. Did I mention I paint? Utterly discouraged with peddling wall art, and having lost my cat Peanut to alligators in Bonita Springs, Florida, I decided to take a break and spend Christmas 2003 in the Big Apple, New York City. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn, I checked in with my sparkling comrade, Claire Hallerou. In January 2003, before I got arrested for laying under army trucks, she and I had marched for peace in Washington, D.C., with approximately 500,000 others. Now Claire and her husband Fabrice Covelli had split up, and Fabrice had moved in with Marion Ramirez, a dancer in his Contact Improv group. At that time, I was better friends with Claire than Fabrice, but I didn't want to seem to be choosing sides. I visited Fabrice and Marion in their new apartment in Prospect Heights. I lamented my art show debacle at length to them and then said, I'd move to New York City if I could find an awesome space. I'd whispered this same bargain to the universe on the drive up from Florida, a wild throw of the dice. The odds were fairly improbable. Finding livable space in New York City has always been unlikely. Never mind finding awesome space.
The upstairs apartment is free, fucker, Fabrice replied. Let's go see.
Newly renovated, cross ventilation, cats okay, 20 minutes by express subway from Midtown Manhattan and the Art Students League, and instant great neighbors. Whoa, the nod from the cosmos. Lease signed starting January 2004. I've always had an affinity for dance, and Marion was hooked into a vast network of performers. My main gig the first 2 years in NYC was offering dirt-cheap freelance video documentation to artists, dancers, and actors for their reels and websites. Choreographer Lawrence Schroeder became a great friend, and she booked me to do a multi-camera production for her theater collaboration, Fata Morgana, right after my return from Palm Springs Shorts Fest. We're now in late September 2005. I'm back from Palm Springs, I've realized that I want to make my own movies, I've written my first script, Daughter of God, and decided the lead character, Christina, would be near impossible to cast. Daughter of God unfolds in a mostly post-apocalyptic world. The refugee, Christina, is in her early 20s. She survived multiple civilization-crashing catastrophes by mapping the childhood fantasies she improvised with her eccentric uncle onto her adult experience. She deflects trauma by interpreting events as extensions of the wild adventures they imagined together when she was a kid. The influence of this odd internal world results in eerily auspicious choices and a bleak and sometimes horrific reality. Remember me sitting in the bar with the quirky blonde? That was Carmen Althaus, one of Fata Morgana's principals, an actor who could also sing and dance, or in musical theater parlance, a triple threat. Carmen was in her 30s, but she presented as a woman 10 years younger, with a sort of delightfully feisty incoherence. She was all sharp Nordic angles and gangly grace wrapped tightly around a slow swirl of joie de vie and smoldering creative angst. A multilingual Swiss-German, Carmen had a delicious Euro accent and a ready, if slightly maniacal, laugh.
I fell into a sort of trance, watching and listening to her. What was it about this woman? She was sparkly, funny, odd, sure. Something else. Something important. Suddenly, in the middle of that dim, trendy bar, the fierce and almost blinding blue of wide open sky.
Carmen was Christina. Carmen could just be mostly herself and pull off Christina no problem.
Was she interested in the part?
Yes.
Casting conundrum solved. So much for those other scripts. Daughter of God was in the house.
Did I say thank you? Well, let me say it right now if I haven't. Thank you so much for checking this out, for listening to my Daughter of Godcast podcast. And what is this podcast? Well, it's all of the zany stories about the making of Daughter of God over the last 11 years come September of 2016. The thing to remember is when you're making stuff that, you know, you are who you are right now. And you're awesome just the way you are right now. Feel that. Do it and keep going because you're going to get better. And there's going to be even more awesomeness to come. Just get it done so you can keep moving towards that more awesomeness that's down the road. And don't spend a lot of time trying to get this particular awesomeness just so. A lesson I learned by making this movie.